Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this morning is Amy Newmark, the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. Amy and I will be discussing how to teach tolerance, respect, and compassion to preteens and teens. In partnership with the Barnard Foundation, Chicken Soup's latest books focus on self-esteem and good values to help children become successful adults. Good morning, Amy. Thank you for joining me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I am great. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to talk about this program to promote tolerance, respect, and compassion. This is something we're really passionate about at Chicken Soup for the Soul, and it's great to be able to talk to your audience about it because it's a huge program that we are pouring our hearts into.
Wonderful. It's always a pleasure to have you on the air with me. The two books, Be the Best You Can Be and Create Your Best Future, are terrific reads. Parents and guardians should definitely have these books on their priority reading list for their children and loved ones this summer. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So please tell us a little bit about the Barnard Initiative.
All right. This was a really amazing thing that happened to us as a company, to Chicken Soup for the Soul. We've always cared so much about making people respect differences, be tolerant of other religions, other lifestyles, other ethnicities. It's something we work really hard at in our books. And about a year ago, gosh, it's hard to believe it happened just a year ago, we got a letter from a guy down in Houston, and he said, I'm Milton Boniuk, and I have the Boniuk Center for Religious Tolerance at Rice University, and I want to talk to you about your stories. And so we started talking to him, and it turns out that Dr. Milton Boniuk is a huge philanthropist. He's an amazing gentleman. He's 82 years old. He's still an eye surgeon. He still practices. He still does surgery. He heads up the ophthalmology department at Baylor University, which is very closely associated with Rice. Like, Rice's medical school is really the Baylor medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is he a practicing eye doctor, but he has done incredibly well in the real estate market in Houston and other areas of the Southwest. And I know you're from Texas, so you understand that. And he is committed to using his great wealth and all of his success to further a goal that he is really, really passionate about, and that is to promote religious tolerance. And it's not even just tolerance from one religion to another, but it's even tolerance within religions, where there's infighting within religions, such as within Islam. So Dr. Boniuk wants to spread this message of tolerance, respect, compassion, anti-bullying, doing your best, self-esteem, all of the values that children need to become successful adults in today's society. He wants to spread this word to kids, to preteens, to teens, to adults. And it turns out that Dr. Boniuk is a huge fan of Chicken Soup for the Soul, and he has been reading Chicken Soup for the Soul books since they first came out 22 years ago. He reads a couple of Chicken Soup for the Soul stories every night before he goes to bed, and I was there at a meeting with the board of trustees of Rice University, where he told the entire board that he believes that if everyone in America read a Chicken Soup for the Soul story every day, America would be a better place.
Fantastic. That's so true.
Yeah, so let me tell you what he asked us to do with him. He loves our stories, and he said, I want to take your stories and package them into books that will really help kids, preteens, teens, and adults, their parents and grandparents, become better people, more tolerant, have more respect for other people, be more accepting of differences, because the world will be a better place. We'll all be more successful as a society if we embrace those virtues. And so what he has done with us is we have put together a series of books. They look just like our regular books. They're sold in stores like our regular books, and they are truly awesome collections, because what we did was we went through our 22 years worth of stories,
mm-hmm.
and we picked the stories that we felt would best teach these values in a completely entertaining way, because our stories are really fun to read. And so we so far we have a book that is already out called Chicken Soup for the Soul, Be the Best You Can Be, and it's for kids through age 12, and it helps to promote all of these values that we're talking about. And then we have another book that you've seen an advanced copy of for teens called Create Your Best Future. That's coming out mid-July. We're putting together another one for parents and grandparents that's coming out in September, and then we have a lot more things we're doing with Dr. Boniuk also.
Fantastic. That's really, really wonderful. What are some of the topics in the Chicken Soup books that makes them relevant and interesting for children to read?
Well, there's a general overlay of a whole anti-bullying mission, and that has become incredibly important in the United States. I think that every single state now has a mandate that there will be anti-bullying workshops, lesson plans, et cetera, in every grade, you know, from first grade through 12th grade. And our books are going to be part of that education initiative. They'll be part of the curriculum in many schools. But you know, what lies behind bullying is the lack of all of these values we're talking about. And so in the book for kids and preteens, we have chapters about making your best effort, doing the right thing, accepting differences in people, appreciating your own family. Because if you have a good attitude towards your family and you treat each other with respect within your family and you embrace the differences within your family, you'll start treating the outside world better as well. We have a whole chapter in the kids' book about handling bullies, some ideas, some tips about how to handle bullies. We have a chapter about having confidence in yourself, a chapter about being generous and giving back and sharing. We have a chapter about making true friends, differentiating between fake friends and real friends. We have a chapter about accepting responsibility, one about being kind to people you know and being kind to people you don't know. Mm-hmm. We have a chapter about being grateful, because if people are grateful for what they have, they're going to be better people. And we have a chapter about getting through tough times. So that's what's in the book for kids through age 12. And then for the teens, and the teens book actually covers kids through the college years also, we have chapters about standing up for what's right, you know, having the courage to say, no, don't do that to that person, or no, you can't steal that, or no, you can't copy that test, you know. We have a chapter about choosing to be your very best, because we really push a lot that you should put the effort in and be the best person you can be. If you're being the best person you can be, you're not going to be a bully. And you'll be able to better resist bullies as well. We also have a chapter about looking past stereotypes, where teens talk about how they were being victimized by stereotypes or how they were guilty of having stereotypes about somebody else. We have chapters about self-esteem, volunteering, embracing differences, learning to ask for help and learning to accept help. That's part of growing up as a good person. We have a chapter about getting through tough times and challenges, and then we have chapters about how you reach out to other people to help them, and also a chapter about gratitude and counting your blessings. And I really believe if kids had all these values instilled in them, you would see less bullying. You would see all kinds of bad behavior reduced, because if people just respect each other, a lot of these bad behaviors just go away.
So true, so true. Please share with us the wonderful foreword for the books.
So the president of Rice University wrote forewords for both books, and he has really embraced this program. And, of course, that's an amazing thing, because he is the president of Rice University, which is one of the most august, you know, educational institutions in the country. And what David Lebron says in his foreword is that the most common way we have educated our children throughout human history is through stories, that stories are what we use to teach kids. Stories are what we use to inspire ourselves, and stories teach us to be strong and confident in the face of adversity. They teach us to be kind, generous, forgiving to others, and to be grateful. And he loves the idea of using stories to spread these values, because It is a much less painful way to learn something. Learning through stories is painless. You come away not even understanding what you learned. And then later you say, wow, that story really did influence me and make me a better person. And so he talks in his forewords for both books about how important storytelling is as a way to spread these good values, and then how these values are so important. And, of course, the best place to start is with the kids, because if you put these values into the kids, then you're going to have adults with these values, and then they'll pass them on to their children and their grandchildren.
What I like about it, the fact that he really believes in the storytelling approach, and that's the essence of Chicken Soup.
Yeah, and you know, we've always been really popular with kids. We have sold more than 17 million copies of our books for preteens and teens.
Wow.
And I run into people all the time, like grown people, you know, in their 20s, even 30s, who say to me, your books are what got me through my teenage years. I couldn't have made it without your books.
Yeah.
I loved your books. We have parents who say to us, my daughter has, you know, one of your teen books on her bedside table, and if she didn't have that book, I don't know how I'd survive the teenage years. This is the mom talking. But we know we've been a very important part of the growing up process for children in the U.S. and Canada for many years. And in fact, overseas as well. I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to in Asia who read Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul. Like, next time you're talking to the help desk somewhere, ask them. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I read Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, whether they're in China or the Philippines or Vietnam or Japan, wherever they are.
Yeah,
they've read the books also.
Teens and preteens, that is a very challenging age of knowledge. The kids are looking for information, and if they get the wrong information, that will throw them off the course. And so with what you guys have to offer, and along with this particular program, they're getting some wonderful messages that will truly help them to be successful in life. Dr. Bonnick wrote a heartfelt introduction for the books as well. Please share that with us.
So in the first book, the one for kids that's called Chicken Soup for the Soul, Be the Best You Can Be, Dr. Bonnick wrote about the fact that He grew up in Canada, and he and his family, his parents were immigrants from Eastern Europe. He grew up, you know, like with enough food to eat, but not with a lot of extra money. There weren't very many Jewish families where he lived in Nova Scotia, so he was always aware that his family practiced a different religion than most of the other families. And he ended up moving to the United States, and he's been in the United States, you know, ever since he graduated from med school, so, you know, something like 60 years. But he concluded over a decade ago, and he talks about this in his introduction, that his primary goal with his philanthropy should be to promote religious tolerance. And then what happened was, as he thought about it, he said, how do you create religious tolerance? It's by creating all these other values in people, because if you are respectful of people's differences, if you respect other people's ways of life, if you are compassionate, if you are a tolerant person, then you can't be religiously intolerant. You're not going to find somebody who's intolerant of religious who's tolerant of religious differences and is intolerant in other ways. It tends to be one big package. And so his mission to promote religious tolerance has expanded to a message of promoting tolerance, respect, and compassion for all differences, not just religious differences. And he talks in his introduction about how he created this institute at Rice University, how he's a member of the Houston Holocaust Museum, and all the other things that he does. And he talks very passionately about how we have to start with the kids. And so he has this introduction in both books saying essentially the same thing and saying to the kids, you know, please read these stories, enjoy them because they're fun to read. But I hope you come away with a little more respect, tolerance, and compassion for all the different kinds of people who are out there.
It's just a wonderful intro and very heartfelt, and from someone who have experienced life in so many different aspects, have gone through the generations, and I think this is the wonderful fact that he is 82 years old. I love to talk to older people simply because of the wisdom that they have accumulated over the years. Now you have two books that are specially designed to share wonderful stories about people that have experienced life and teaching the kids the right way to think. So that's really terrific. What is the best way for parents to use these books effectively to convey the intended messages?
It depends on the age of the child. So what I would do is, if I were a parent or a grandparent of a child who was, say, 5 to 10 years old, mm-hmm. I would read stories from Chicken Soup for the Soul, Be the Best You Can Be, out loud to the child, and then discuss them and talk about things. And children are just so open to these ideas. And the child will probably, you know, discuss, oh, you know, I met this kid and his skin color is different from mine, but we play together all the time. And it opens up discussions about things like that. Then the older kids, you know, the kids who are in mm-hmm. third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, they can read the stories themselves. And then, of course, for teens, I think what would be nice is to both read the book, you know, the parents mm-hmm. or grandparents mm-hmm. and the kids read the books and then discuss the stories. But kids really do discuss these stories, and it's interesting. We have gotten so much email and so many letters from people telling us that they actually use Chicken Soup for the Soul stories as conversation starters around the dinner table. They'll actually read a story together, and then mm-hmm. the family will discuss it. I know that sounds like so, I don't know, Waltons, right? It sounds so old-fashioned, but people are actually doing it, and because the kids love Chicken Soup for the Soul stories, you actually yeah. can get away with that as a parent. You can actually read a story and discuss it with your kid.
Right, right. What I like about in the book, Be the Best You Can Be, you have conversation starters. And I thought that was just wonderful.
Yes. And we actually had an education specialist read mm-hmm. the stories and come up with those conversation starters mm-hmm. for us, because we viewed this book as one that would be used by parents and grandparents and also by teachers. And so at the end of each chapter, we do have conversation starters where the child is asked a question about three different stories in that chapter. Mm-hmm. And so you have 36 of these conversation starters in the book. And it is a great way to have a conversation about a story and what the child gleaned from it and how it might affect the child's behavior. It's really important because it's been proven that kids who don't turn into tolerant adults do not succeed. Mm-hmm. It's people who are tolerant, who get along with other people and succeed in life. They're the ones who advance through their careers, through the education system. The intolerant people don't advance. There are notable exceptions, but in general,
sure.
the intolerant people don't advance. I know we're heading into a presidential election year, so I have to point out there are exceptions.
Well, we can always have Amy Newmark for president. That's nothing wrong with
that. Oh, yeah,
with
I'll just join the Republican roster. Like, I'll join the other 150 people.
What I like about the book and what you just mentioned just now is the fact that the families are getting back to the dining table and talking, discussing, and what could be better than these stories as conversation starters, because in today's technology, we're there and we're not there. I think the books, the storytelling, focuses the entire family in a nice, healthy way. What are your thoughts
about
that?
That's absolutely true. Yeah, because, and you know what, we're seeing that. Parents are more and more aware now of the value of reducing the intensity of their schedules, scheduling mm-hmm. less for the kids, having more time to just hang out together, making mm-hmm. sure they have dinner together at least a few nights a week. And here's another interesting thing. This is very encouraging. Kids are getting back to reading again, which I find fascinating. When I went to a big publishing industry conference in February that was held by the biggest distributor of books in the United States, they were talking about how well they're doing now with children's books and mm-hmm. with young adult books. And young adult, they say young adult, but it's really more like preteens and teens. That's what young adult is. You know, and it's books like The Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. But kids are reading again, and interestingly, kids are going back to print books as well. Not that I have anything against ebooks at all. I find them to be extremely convenient, and we always put out our ebooks the same day as our print books. But it's interesting to me that the kids are actually, they want to hold the book and, you know, be able to turn back a few pages and read something again and reread the book and turn the pages over and highlight the book. So kids are going back to storytelling. It makes sense, right? We said storytelling is how mankind has been, it's what mankind's been doing for thousands of years. Kids are returning to what really, really works for human beings, which is storytelling.
Mm-hmm. So true. Well, that brings us to the section where I've selected several stories from both books as talking points for this morning. And we're going to start up with the book that's titled Be the Best You Can Be. And from the first chapter, Making Your Best Effort, the first story is On Top of the World by David Hall.
All right, so this story is in Be the Best You Can Be, which is the Chicken Soup for the Soul book for kids and preteens. Mm-hmm. And David Hall wrote about how he went with his family and his extended family on their annual vacation to the Adirondack Mountains. And his niece didn't want to go outside, wanted to sit inside, watch cable television, or go to the video game arcade, or go shopping in town. But she didn't actually want to do anything outdoors. And he forced her to turn off the TV, unplug the devices, leave her money at home because she wasn't going to see a souvenir shop, and walk up a mountain with him. And it only took an hour to hike to the top of the mountain, and she complained the whole way. And when she got to the top, she was blown away by what she had accomplished by walking up a mountain and by what she could see up there and how fabulous it was. And it completely changed everything for her. And she said, "We're on top of the world. It's awesome. I don't believe it." And she wanted to do it again. And so it just shows that as a parent, you should persevere. You should try. This was the uncle, but you should persevere with the young people in your family and try to get them to do those things that you know are good for them. And for the kids who are reading the story, it was a good message. Next time someone suggests you do something where you unplug from technology, go for it. You're actually going to really enjoy it.
What I love about the story is the fact that the child realized that there's a whole new world out there. You are really communing with nature, and that is far more beautiful in the end than what you're doing with the gadgets that you have.
That's right. And there's nothing that's more life affirming and and more, I don't know how to put it. It just makes you feel more alive when you go outside.
Yeah.
Now, here's a funny story. There's a whole network of hiking trails near my house. Mm-hmm. My daughter is 26. She just graduated from medical school. She came a few weeks ago to visit, and I took her on this network of hiking trails. I've lived in my house 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
She had been refusing for 17 years to walk on these hiking trails. We finally went on the hiking trails, and she said, "Oh, my gosh, these have been here the whole time that I've lived here? I had no idea these were here. These are fabulous."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I've been trying to tell you about these for 17 years, but she didn't like hiking when she was a kid. Now she loves it. She's 26. It was so funny, though. She gave up all those years when she could have been mountain biking and hiking on these amazing trails within walking distance of our house.
Well, it's never too late, and in this case, the timing is right. So that's just wonderful. And not to mention, when you go on trips like this, I'm presuming that you guys went together, so you're increasing the opportunity to have the one-to-one bonding.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she and I went walking yesterday, and we were just chattering away, and she told me everything about her schedule and everything else, and I don't get that kind of stuff when we're just sitting there. That's right. When you go and you do exercise with your child of any age, you always have really good conversations. I used to do that with my son. I would shoot baskets with him out in the driveway because then he would talk to me.
That's wonderful. One last thing about nature is the fact that it has this special nurturing way about giving us that comfort to be able to just relax and chill out and basically, like you were talking about, chatting away.
It also makes you realize you're part of something much bigger.
Yeah.
And that you're not really that important, and that life goes on around you, and that
right.
you're part of a much bigger picture. When you're sitting there in your living room and you're on your video yeah. game controller, and it's just you and the screen, you think that you are all that important. But when you go
right.
out in nature and you see all the birds building their nests and the deer are walking by and everything is happening, you realize that you are just a tiny cog in a giant wheel.
So true. So true. The next chapter is Doing the Right Thing. The story is Standing in Solidarity by Shirley Bayer.
This story is about a woman whose husband is a pastor in a church in California. And after 9/11, she and her husband realized that the local Muslim population was going to be discriminated against in retaliation for 9/11, even though, of course, 9/11 was done by crazy terrorists and not by regular peace-loving people who happened to practice a different religion. And so their church decided that they were going to go and go to the Muslim area and stand there and be nice to them. They brought them donuts and flowers, and they made sure that nobody harassed the Muslims. And it led to a relationship between this Protestant church and this Muslim community, and that relationship continues to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a real eye-opener for everybody when they reached across to a very different religion.
I'm so glad we have this story. It reminded me of growing up in Malaysia, where we truly have all the multi-denominational religion in Malaysia. And I remember growing up as a child, we don't really care. What we care was the wonderful foods the different culture brought together.
Right. You saw yeah. the good in differences, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As a kid, we enjoyed going to each other's house, celebrating those religious holidays, and most importantly, we can't wait to chow down.
Mm-hmm.
The next chapter is Accepting Differences, The Normal Girl in a Not-So-Normal Chair by Danny Spirit.
So Danny has cerebral palsy. She had a little stroke as she was being born, and she is in a wheelchair. She's quite disabled. She's on a ventilator, but she goes to school. She's very bright. She wrote a really wonderful story for us, and she wrote about how people treat you when you're a 12-and-a-half-year-old girl and you're sitting in a wheelchair. And she says, look, I'm a normal 12-and-a-half-year-old girl. I care about the same things that all the other girls care about. I put on makeup. I want to wear trendy clothing. I want to go outside in nature. But I need a ventilator to breathe and a wheelchair to move me around. And she said people just look right by her. They try to pretend that they don't see her because they don't know what to do. And it feels really bad. And they'll avert their eyes. And she says, you know, how would you feel if people just pretended they didn't see you when you walked into a place? Or if they walked away from you, turned their backs on you? Wouldn't it hurt your feelings? And so she's saying, look, say hello to me. Smile at me. Ask me a question. Treat me as a normal person. I am a normal person. I just happen to be on a ventilator sitting in a wheelchair. And so I thought that that was a really good story to include in this book because I thought it might open the kids' eyes. You know, there might be that kid
yeah.
in a wheelchair who's sitting off to the side in their classroom with her aide sitting next to her, and they should embrace that child and make her part of their activities because she's a normal kid. Underneath
right.
her disabilities, she's a normal kid just like they are. So I'm hoping that that story will influence some kids to be more welcoming of kids who might scare them a little bit because they're disabled and they look different and they have scary machines around them.
What I like about the stories, I hope the story will serve as an inspiration for others to let them know, hey, this is wonderful, and it validates how they feel on the inside because I'm normal too.
Absolutely. They have to look at the kids in the wheelchairs or any kind of disabled kid as a normal kid who just has a disability laid over the normal kid.
Precisely. The next chapter is Handling Bullies. Kindness is More Powerful. It's by Janella Jepson.
You know, before I became publisher of Chicken Soup mm-hmm. for the Soul 7 years ago and was you know, lucky enough to be able to read all of these stories, including, you know, tens of thousands of stories that I've read that we haven't published, is that I have been exposed to this concept over and over again of actually smiling at bullies, being nice to bullies. It actually works. And I know that sounds crazy, and it's the kind of thing where if you tell it to a kid, if an adult tells it to a kid isn't going to believe it. So I always try to have stories in our books where we show a kid talking about how he or she was nice to a bully and the bully turned around. And so in the Be the Best You Can Be book, we do have a full chapter about handling bullies because it's a really useful skill. And we all run into bullies our whole lives, even as adults. I can still point out people in my life who have been bullies to me, you know, and I'm in my 50s.
Yeah.
But it just keeps happening, and you need a strategy. And so this story, she talks about how she's being bullied. This is a middle school girl, and this horrible girl named Sabrina is bullying her, and this girl is walking home with her sister, trying to avoid Sabrina, always terrified of her. And she's afraid to tell anybody because, you know, kids never want to tell because they think they're just going to get even worse treatment from the bully and the bully's friends. And then one day, this Sabrina came up to her and kicked her and was chasing her. And then the girl was running away down a staircase, and Sabrina fell on the staircase. Sabrina, the bully, was chasing the nice girl. Sabrina fell, toppled down the stairs. The nice girl watched Sabrina fall to the bottom, went over and helped her up, and was nice to the bully. And the bully was shocked. Mm-hmm. And the girl picked her up, took her to the nurse's office, and Sabrina never harassed her again and made sure that her friends didn't either because she showed kindness to the bully.
It's a wonderful story. It reminded me about the times when I was growing up, except I wasn't actually being bullied. I helped a friend. We were growing up, there were about 12 of us, and there was some group that eventually kind of deviated on their own way, and they joined the gang, and they got rough, and they were bullying one of our mutual friends. And the worst part about it, it's in a soccer game. You're not supposed to do that. Needless to say, I stood up for this friend. Well, the gang, needless to say, who are so-called my friends, turned against me. They actually hurt me because when I was ready, they were afraid of me and they kind of blindsided me and they hit me and so forth. And needless to say, I had to go to the doctor. But then the word is out there, the fact that I'm coming after them, that changes the dynamics a little bit. And in the end, one of the parents of the so-called friends brought the friend over to apologize to me. And so what happened was I had a choice of not wanting to extend an olive branch or to just, you know, that's the end of the friendship. But instead, I thought about it and told him that you need to think twice about the way you're acting. But having said that, sort of a Malaysian proverb kind of thing where I told him that now that you and your friends have lit the candle, you will always stay lit. If I ever see you picked on anyone, regardless whether it's our friends or not, I'll be coming after you. Believe it or not, that took care of the problem with everything else that they do. They kind of quiet themselves down from that perspective. So this story kind of reminded me of that.
Well, good for you. That took a lot of courage on your part. That's the kind of behavior we're trying to promote through these books.
Yeah, yeah. The next chapter is Having Confidence in Yourself, Finding Yourself a Dream. I love this story by Bob Love.
Yeah, so this guy, Bob Love, was the last person in his family to be born on a plantation. They were very poor, and Bob used to work in the fields picking cotton, but he dreamt about becoming a great public speaker. However, he suffered from severe stuttering. And we get a number of stories in our Chicken Soup for the Soul books about stuttering. We're definitely a good resource for people who stutter. In fact, if anybody wants to read any stories about stuttering, if you go to our website, chickensoup.com, and you click on Read Our Stories, you can put in the search word stuttering and find some of our stories about stuttering because they're really very encouraging to all the stutterers out there, and there are millions of people who stutter. So anyway, this guy, Bob, was raised by his grandmother, And she taught him to never give up, to, you know, find himself a dream, to hold on to it, never let go of that dream. And so he was very lucky. He was a talented basketball player. And he ended up going into the NBA. He was one of the stars of the Chicago Bulls, but he still had his stutter. And so he kept it a secret. He didn't talk. And when he finished basketball, I mean, this was back before the huge, huge money days. This was back in, like, the 90s. He actually had to start out at the bottom again when he stopped being a pro basketball player and worked as a dishwasher and a busboy at a restaurant. But the owners of the restaurant noticed him, noticed how hard he was working, and they said, we'll send you to a speech therapist. We'll pay for it. And after a few years of therapy, he stopped stuttering. He was able to move up in his company, and he became the corporate spokesperson for that company. And now he's the director of community affairs for the Chicago Bulls. He speaks hundreds of times a year at, you know, big events. He's spoken to more than 250,000 young people about the importance of staying in school. And so when people ask him what he does for a living now, he says, I talk. And that was a great result for a guy who started out stuttering.
It's a beautiful story. What it tells me, the fact that you never gave up yourself, and he pursued a dream. It doesn't matter how ridiculous it is, and especially in the field of sports, where people don't realize that you're talking about the success rate, one in thousands. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. That's true. But even so, the stutter was hanging over him all along. So no matter how powerful somebody is, there's probably something about them they're very unhappy with that you don't know. We all have something.
So true. The next chapter is another wonderful, wonderful story. I love this, and I kind of really connect to this. Accepting Responsibility, Walking with Grandpa by Uncle Greg.
One of the things that's really important about growing up is learning to take responsibility for your actions, learning to fess up when you've made a mistake. I know as a boss, when my employees tell me they made a mistake, I am so much more understanding than if I have to ferret it out of them and they're rationalizing and making excuses. Just come right out and say you made a mistake. The consequences will always be better than if it has to be found out. And so this guy, Greg, always listened to his grandfather, who was a real mentor to him, which shows the importance of grandparents. And he was in a group of kids who hit a ball, and it went through this old lady's window. Everybody had always been afraid of this old lady. They thought she was mean, this and that. I mean, she was, you know, the scary old lady inside the house that they didn't understand. So he didn't want to tell the old lady that they had broken her window. And his grandfather made him do it. And it turned out that the old lady was very nice and became close friends with this kid and actually gave him enough money for doing odd jobs around her house that he was able to buy his first car. And so he talks about how the values that his grandfather taught him really did change his life so much for the better, which is wonderful because it's a great message to kids about doing the right thing, but it's also a great message about listening to your grandparents and how they really do have wisdom to impart to you, which can make your life better.
I love the story. It reminded me in my teen years, and the group of us, we hang out together, we play together, and there's a schoolyard by where we live, and we always play soccer every evening. And needless to say, there are houses all around the soccer field. One day, I remembered I kicked the ball, it slipped, it landed in someone's backyard, in the sense that it's not only a backyard, but that's where they were having dinner. I think it landed on their dinner table itself. And you're talking about my so-called friends, right? I mean, you have never seen everybody just kind of ran off on the field. It just reminded me of, like, you have this bunch of ants, and then you did something to the ant group, and you saw all these ants kind of scattered off.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know, and I'm here standing by myself. Everybody told me to take off, and I then because, I don't know, for whatever reasons, I just couldn't move. The owner of the house came out, and of course, they've always been aggravated with kids playing and no telling what kids do and so forth. And I told the guy, yes, I was the one who kicked the ball, and I do want to let you know, just think about this very carefully. I don't know why I said this, but I said, I did not intentionally kick the ball to your dinner table across the bush and all that kind of stuff. I said, we're playing games, and it slipped. And I think that's enough to kind of make him think it's not intentional. I think the intention here is so important to him. So needless to say, he was appreciative of the fact that I took ownership, and he did say nothing broke. It was just a scary moment, just like, you know, you're eating dinner, and all of a sudden you have this little soccer ball that came across the bush right by the dinner table. So that's what this story reminded me about from that perspective, taking ownership and not running away from things that you've done something wrong.
I think that reading these books really prompts us to remember our own childhoods and some really great stories we can pass on to younger people. I always advise parents to read our books for children and preteens and teens themselves, because it will remind them of things, and then they can share those stories with their kids. And the kids love hearing stories about when their parents were little.
Right. The next chapter is Being Grateful, The Boy Who Had Everything by Jackson Javis.
So you didn't know it, but you picked the story written by the son of our senior vice president of marketing.
Awesome.
Because Jackson is the son of Joel Jarvis, who works at Chicken Soup for the Soul. And Joel went through a really hard time. Her husband died when Jackson was 2.5. Mm-hmm. And Joel lost all her money in, you know, bad real estate investments in Las Vegas, which, of course, you know, the real estate market there blew up. And so they went from having everything to having virtually nothing. And Jackson, as a little kid, always got everything he wanted. If he went to the toy store, they would buy him whatever toy he wanted. When his father died, people bought him even more toys to try to make up for him losing his father when he was only 2.5. And he had to learn about gratitude. And he learned it one day when his mom gave him for Christmas you know, like some underwear and some shirts, just like basic clothing that he needed. And when he acted disappointed, she started crying. And then he realized how hard she was working and that she couldn't give him anything more than that, and that all the money that she was making was going for rent and food.
Yeah.
And it was a complete turnaround for him. And so he says, now I am grateful for everything I have, and I understand the feeling you get from working to earn something for yourself, because he's actually taken on jobs to pay for video games and things that he wants. So he talks about how much he's changed. And, you know, this is the kind of thing where a parent, teacher, grandparent could say to a kid over and over again, you don't know how lucky you are. You're so lucky to have the things that you have. But to hear it from another kid, that's what really makes an impression on a kid. And that's why we have stories like this in a book that's going to be read by and to kids.
Right. It's a wonderful story. When I read the story, I connect to it from a different perspective, in the sense that the mother-son relationship, in my case, was my mom has always given me allowance for the things that I've done around the house and so forth. I remember vividly to this day, my mom passed away a couple of years ago, but to this day, it taught me about gratitude and sharing. In our neighborhood, we have the ice cream truck guy that comes around all the time, and I love a certain kind of ice cream. My mom loves a certain kind of ice cream. And when the truck came over to the house, I was ready to buy some of the ice cream that I love, and I was using, obviously, my money, and my mom was asking me, would you buy me one? And I said, no. Of course, that's being selfish, because I was trying to keep all the money that I have. My mom actually started crying because she thought that I was being extremely selfish. It really hit me hard, because in the sense that that was not the intent of being selfish. I was trying to save the money for something else that I wanted to buy the following week. But I understand where she came from. She says, in the end, you know that the money came from me, and now when I need something, when I would like to eat the ice cream with you, you refuse to pay for the ice cream. She literally cried. I mean, she took it very personal, and that made me think differently, and I took it personal, and from that on, my perspective changed about being grateful, knowing that life is a little bit different than what I thought.
It just shows how important it is to teach our children these values at a young age and how they really will last until they're adults. And that's the whole point of making these books, these Chicken Soup for the Soul books with Dr. Boniek, to get the right message into the kids' heads now.
Yeah, yeah. It's totally awesome. Well, the following stories are from the other book that's coming out in July, Create Your Best Future. The first one is Stand Up for What's Right Without Prejudice by Donna Finley.
This story by Donna Finley I absolutely love because she talks about how she was raised in the South in a very racist family. Her grandmother was racist. Her great-grandmother was racist. And Donna says that her mom should have been racist because she was raised by these women, but her mom broke out of the mold, even though it was the 1960s and they lived in the South, and her mom was determined to help her own daughters embrace racial equality. And so she would sit in front of the television with her girls and watch, you know, the black kids go to the white school and have the state troopers there, you know, forcing the kids to let in the black kids. And her mom cried as she watched black children being turned away. And she watched as her grandfather called the guy who mowed the lawn boy, while her mother called that man Mr. William. And she just learned from her mom not to be like the rest of the people in Alabama where she lived. Mm-hmm. And so she said that these lessons stuck with her. And now Donna's husband is the pastor of a multi-ethnic church congregation in Nevada. And when you go to church at their church on Sundays, you will see people from a dozen different, you know, ethnic heritages, all different colors of skin in the congregation. And so I thought that was a really good story about breaking out of a family pattern that's a very damaging family pattern.
Sure. What I got from that story is the fact that in the end, moms all around the world, or ethnicity in this case, or religious background, basically want the most important thing, the best for their children. And I think moms can relate to the other moms. Forget the politics for a change. And that's what I love about
this. That is definitely true. Moms do relate to other moms because we all have the exact same objectives. And two moms can look at each other and convey to each other, look, I love my kid. You love your kid. We're really the same.
Right. The next chapter, Choosing to Be Your Very Best. The two saddest words, and guess what? It's by you.
Yes, this is a story I wrote. It's one of this, you know, this book is for teens and college students, and so we're really trying to give them some good life lessons. So this is a life lesson that I really care about, which is always do your very best. Take that extra minute to do something right. Because the two saddest words that I know are, if only. If only I had closed the pool gate the whole way. If only I had forced everyone in my car to wear a seatbelt. If only I had gone back and checked my work on that spreadsheet. If only I had looked at that attachment on the email and made sure I attached the right thing to that email before I, you know, hurt somebody by sending the wrong thing. But I can't stand the words, if only, and I make every effort to avoid ever having to say those words. And so I was giving a lot of examples in this story that people can read if they read the book about why you need to do these things. It only takes seconds to avoid having to say, if only, down the road.
What I like about it also is that you kind of make all of us be conscious of wanting and needing to be in the present moment.
Yeah, right. You should always be present, doing your best in everything that you do, because it really will pay off. That's absolutely true.
The next chapter, Developing Self-Esteem, Finding a Vision by Talina Barker. I love the story.
Talina actually started going blind when she was 17 years old. And this was, you know, a huge shock to her. She got a herpes simplex virus in her eyes. And so she actually went blind, and she had to learn what it was like to be a blind person. And, you know, when you're 17, you don't want to be different, and you want to keep doing all the things that you're normally doing with your friends. And a lot of her friends stopped paying attention to her because they were uncomfortable. They didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. One friend came through and really, you know, stood by her side. It turns out that after a few months of being blind, her eyes started to heal, and she got her vision back, except she had to wear very thick glasses. And so she learned to get over her feeling of awkwardness about wearing these thick glasses, and she learned to see the beauty within herself instead of looking at what she saw in the mirror. And so she said that it really changed her life because she learned to be way more self-confident about who she was without worrying about her appearance.
Mm-hmm. So true. I chose this story because the journey of self-esteem begins from within.
Yeah, and it's something that parents and grandparents and teachers and aunts and uncles can help with. You can help a kid have more self-esteem, although that doesn't mean that you tell them every single thing they do is fabulous, because they're going to see right through that. You give the praise when they should get the praise, but you mean it when you say it, and you don't hold it back. When they deserve the praise, you give it, and you help them to have self-esteem so that they will do the right thing and be willing to stand up for what's right and stand up to bullies and stand up for helping their friends against bullies, etc.
So true. This next story is so powerful, Embracing Differences. And the story is A Ray of Peace by Rabbi Harvey.
Yeah, this was a really interesting story because the rabbi was talking to a young man who revealed that he was a Palestinian. And the rabbi and this man became very friendly, and he learned the history of this man who had been born in Jerusalem and by accident had been like in a group of people that were having some kind of riot and had been accidentally shot by an Israeli soldier. And he had to go to the hospital, and he ended up having to go to Jordan, and then he didn't go back to Israel, and he ended up in the United States eventually. And he was trying to go to university, and he needed a scholarship. And he went to the university, and the dean said, oh, I'll give you the scholarship. I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you, and was leaning over to help him. And it turned out that this dean was the Israeli soldier who had shot him. And the Israeli soldier had never forgotten what he did. He felt so horrible that he had accidentally shot this kid, had remembered his name all that time, and was finally able to pay him back by helping him get through university in the United States. And it was just a nice story about forgiveness, about a relationship between a Palestinian and an Israeli. And we included it because, you know, we don't have that many stories specifically about religious tolerance, and so we wanted to make sure we put in the ones that we had.
It's a beautiful story, and I think that comes back to the human factor, because when you take away everything else, what you and I really want is to live a wonderful life in pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, and the next story that you picked out is the smile. And
yes.
Boy, what better way to spread happiness than through smiles, because I always say that smiles are like boomerangs. You throw one out there, and it comes back at you. This is a classic story that you selected in our Reaching Out to Others chapter. It's called The Smiles by Hannock McCarty. It was in the original Chicken Soup for the Soul book, the one that started all this 22 years ago. He tells a story by Antoine Saint-Exupéry, who was the author of The Little Prince. And it's about a serviceman during World War II who is who's thrown into jail. Actually, I think it was actually the Spanish Civil War. It was before World War II. And this man is in jail. He expects to be killed. And then he exchanges a smile with his jailer. And once they smile at each other, there's no going back. And they end up showing each other pictures of their kids. And before he knows it, the jailer opens the door and says, just get out, go, 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 go. And he escapes from this military prison. And so he says, my life was saved by a smile. And we have so many stories in Chicken Soup for the Soul books about smiles turning around, you know, that rude cashier at the store where you're checking out.
Mm-hmm.
Smiles turning around that bully who's been persecuting you all year. You just smile at him over and over again for a month, and then he stops bullying you. Smiles turn everything around. And so we put that in because what a great tool for kids to use. It's something we all carry with us all day long, the ability to smile.
So true. And what I love about it, it is reminding all of us on being human.
Yeah, we're all humans, absolutely. And the smile is our way of communicating that to each other.
That's right. That's the first line of communication in a nonverbal way.
That's right. And all animals have ways of communicating. I mean, dogs have nonverbal ways they communicate with each other, right? They sniff each other's rear ends, or they put their bodies in a more submissive position. They do something.
Right.
For us, our animal way of talking to each other nonverbally is through smiles.
That's true. What are some of your favorite stories?
Well, I know I've been talking a lot about handling bullies, but it's really important because it is one of the key things we're doing with these wonderful new books.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a story in the Be the Best You Can Be book, the one for the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Compassion for a Bully. And in this case, this girl was having her bat mitzvah, and there had been this awful girl who had been bullying her all year. And they're assigned to do their bat mitzvah together, because you know how they sometimes have two kids do it at once?
Yeah.
Well, the bully ends up completely blowing her Torah portion, and she goes and sits down, and she's crying. And then the girl who was being bullied is very nice and leans over and says to the bully, oh, don't worry, your parents are going to be proud of you anyway, and realizes that the bully is just a very insecure girl who was lashing out at everybody else because of her own insecurities, her own problems with her family. The bully whispers to the nice girl that her family loves to tell her all about her mistakes. And so it was a great example of how you can reach through that anger, that hurt, that insecurity, and find a nice person inside a bully.
Right, right. It's just a beautiful story. I love that story, too. I read it, and there's just so many stories to choose from. It's
that
so difficult.
That is true.
What can we expect from the Bonnie X initiative in the coming months?
We have a TV show starting October 3rd on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be called Chicken Soup for the Soul's Hidden Heroes. And this show is designed for families to watch together. It's for families to watch and discuss with each other as they're bopping around that kitchen on Saturday mornings, you know, getting ready to go to soccer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to show scenarios that we've set up, and we're going to show members of the public on hidden camera doing the right thing. You know, we might have, say, an old lady in a grocery store who turns to people and says, could you help me? Could you help me? I can't read the labels. And we'll show people helping her.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to show all of these different hidden heroes. And it's part of this whole program to promote tolerance, respect, and compassion. And Dr. Boniek is sponsoring this television show. And we're absolutely thrilled that we're going to be on CBS every Saturday morning. We have a 52-week commitment.
Wonderful.
This is a major new endeavor for Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Congratulations. That's awesome news. Awesome news. Well, it is time for your wonderful recipes for living. What recipes would you like to share with our listeners this morning?
Well, I think that our recipes for living that have been cooked up by Chicken Soup for the Soul are very much embodied by the messages in these two new books that we did with Milton Boniek. And I think one of the key recipes or the key ingredients is stand up for what's right. You know, do the right thing, because you can't be a successful person if you just slink away. You've got to stand up for what's right, and that's what gets you noticed, and that's what enables you to move forward in life. Another really strong message in these books is that you always have to put in your best effort, because it really does pay off. And so you have to choose to be your very, very best. Another great recipe for life is to look past stereotypes, examine where you're holding your own stereotypes, your own preconceived notions about other people. Look past those stereotypes and embrace differences, because your life will be so enriched and you will become a much more successful person, a successful worker, a successful friend, a successful parent or spouse. Another key message in these books is to be grateful. Count your blessings. See what you have that's good in your life. Grateful people have been scientifically proven to be happier, to do better in life, and to be healthier. And finally, give back. There's always something you can give back. You can give of your money, you can give of your possessions, or you can give of your time. But there's nothing that makes you feel better than volunteering or giving back. It's often actually used as a mental health therapy. If somebody is suicidal, you give them volunteer work to do. People love having a passion and a purpose. It makes you feel so good. And it's a wonderful thing to allow kids to start giving back in whatever way they can.
Terrific recipes. Amy, thank you for the wonderful recipes for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. It has been a true pleasure. Thank you again. Have a blessed day and have a wonderful time in Houston, Texas.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye. To all our listeners, please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Mark Stevens. Mark and I will be discussing the latest release of the popular Asphalt Warriors series, authored by his late friend, best-selling author Gary Riley. The book is titled Pick Up at Union Station. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Bye-bye.